KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
All right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right, we are here to rock your geek world. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't really have like a geek world. Oh, you do. You just don't know it yet.
Right? Mm-hmm. We will help you build it if you don't have it.
And then we will rock said newly built geek world.
Right.
Or help you discover it in case you're uncertain.
We will be the Magellan of your Greek world, or geek world.
And maybe Greek, depending upon
Greek,
who you are.
Greek geek world.
That's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of G.
Anyway, if you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about news, tech, entertainment, video games, comic books, all sorts of stuff. And, of course, if you are familiar with the show, you know all of that already.
Yes.
And you know that we love when you participate on the show, and Caleb loves to tell you how to do that.
I do indeed.
I can see the love right now.
There's a lot of love.
Mm.
It's pouring out of the pores.
Woo!
Spraying out of the pores. Oozing out of the pores. Oh.
Mostly oozing. Mostly oozing.
If you wish to participate at the show, which makes it even more awesome for us and for you because you get to participate with us, and that's cool, you can find us on Facebook. You can do facebook.com/robotsattackshow. That'll be us. Or do a search in that little handy bar at the top of your Facebook page for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one word. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place that has all things Robots Attack and links back to everything else that we've described is robotsattack.me. There you go. That is the quick and dirty rundown of what you need to know to interact with the show.
That's right. Nice and easy.
That dirty, though.
It's the abbreviated version. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it was clean.
And remember, if you're driving, don't do any of that because it's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Get the person riding shotgun to do all that for you, or wait till you're not operating
said vehicle.
First, get the person who is riding shotgun to put down the shotgun because you probably will get pulled over.
It's true.
I don't think that's legal.
Yeah.
Not in the current era. I'm sure there was a point in time where that might have been okay, but...
Right.
Yes. And speaking of things that are okay, hopefully, new releases for this week.
Woo!
And I like to start us off with movies in the theater. All right. Our first film is The Guest. A soldier introduces himself to the Peterson family, claiming to be a friend of their son who died in action. After the young man is welcomed into their home, a series of accidental deaths seem to be connected to his presence. Next, we have The Maze Runner. When Thomas wakes up trapped in a massive maze with a group of other boys, he has no memory of the outside world other than strange dreams about a mysterious organization known as W.C.K.D. Only by piecing together fragments of his, of his past with clues, he discovers... In the maze, can Thomas hope to uncover his true purpose and a way to escape? Next we have, This Is Where I Leave You. When their father passes away, four grown siblings, bruised and banged up by their respective adult lives, are forced to return to their childhood home and live under the same roof together for a week, along with their oversharing mother and an assortment of spouses, exes, and might-have-beens. Then we have a film called Tusk. When his best friend and podcast co-host goes missing in the backwoods of Canada, a young guy joins forces with his friend's girlfriend to search for him. It was believed directed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Hmm. Not Will Smith, Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Definitely a difference there.
Right.
Yes, a little bit of a difference.
Completely different Smith.
It's true. One was Legend. The other was...
Silent Bob?
Yes.
Silently Legendary?
Yes. Yes. And then finally we have A Walk Among the Tombstones. Ex-New York cop Matt Schroeder, played by Liam Neeson, now works as an unlicensed private investigator operating just outside the law and probably has a set of skills. When Scudder reluctantly agrees to help a heroin trafficker hunt down the men who kidnapped and then brutally murdered his wife, the PI learns that this is not the first time these men have committed this sort of twisted crime, nor will it be the last.
Well, I would have thought it would be the last, because set of skills.
We shall find out. If you prefer your movies in the comfort of your home, then perhaps these DVDs and Blu-rays might spark your fancy. There's Arrow, the complete second season on Blu-ray and DVD. The Undertaking shook Starling City to its core. Never has it needed its hooded vigilante more than now. But in the aftermath, friends and foes have moved around the board, and Oliver Queen must learn to navigate these new waters. That was a lot of metaphors. Sorry. But can he balance the needs of Starling City and protect his family and company? Dun, 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 dun. Then there is Godzilla on Blu-ray and DVD. It's the godfather of all kaiju, and he has returned to his rightful place on the screen. This movie sweeps away the past and begins a new future in which the mighty Zilla... For the mighty Zilla. There still isn't enough of his screen time, but what there is satisfying. So kick back and enjoy this resurgence of the King of Kaiju. Then The Fault in Our Stars on Blu-ray and DVD, because it's something completely different. Living is rarely easy. Living with a life-threatening disease is even more so. Yet against this backdrop is a love story about finding meaning in the moments that we have. Then it's House of Bodies on Blu-ray and DVD. When a string of murders are echoes of an imprisoned inmate, a detective threads a delicate line in order to find the true killer. Meanwhile, a camera is focused on a young woman who is trapped in the house where the original murders took place. And to round out as another TV series, it's 13, or XIII, the series, season 2. Season 1 also, I think, recently dropped, so there's that too. Wow, something happened to my notes here, which is really unfortunate.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, I think I found... the Agent 13 finds out that he has a double and is committing terrorist acts in his name. He is also being pulled into action by a resistance movement, which is trying to recruit him for his unique skills, echoing Mr. Neeson. And he also finds evidence of a weapon designed for global annihilation. If only he had Jack Bauer to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
So that rounds out our DVD and Blu-ray selections for this week.
All right. Well, if you have a theatrical rhythm set of skills, you can go and play a new video game on the 3DS called Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call. It basically sounds like it's trying to incorporate a normal Final Fantasy type of role-playing experience with a really thin connection of 221 of the songs created for the entire series in order to make it into a new storyline of its own. If nothing else, it sounds very interesting, and the graphics are definitely cute. So you got that. Yeah. Beyond that, if you want more of the cute and possibly some cooking action, also for the 3DS is Cooking Mama 5, Bon Appetit.
Nice.
I know, right? 60 brand new mouth-watering recipes, and about 30 new minigames. Go cook something. Beyond that, if you've been missing out on all of the Naruto action, you can... No, Naruto. That's how it's said, right?
I am so disappointed in you right now.
Anyway, this Naruto guy. He's out there having fun on a new video game that just came out on Tuesday.
Is there any relation to Ong?
I don't know.
You're too far away for me to reach. Stop it.
Anyway, he is coming to the PS3 and Xbox 360 for Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Revolution.
Wow. I would not want to say Xbox, go to Naruto, Revolution.
Right. At least not in front of company.
Because after you fall over and pass out from having to expend all your air, your game will, it'll be like, just kind of look at you cross-eyed because he doesn't know what you said.
Yeah. Right. Following the trend of all of the other Ultimate or Ninja Storm games, there's a massive playable list. It looks beautiful, and it's a lot of fun to play, and it probably doesn't spend too much time trying to be well-balanced at all. It's just for fun. Other than that, coming to PC, we have Arch Age, a new massive multiplayer game that is actually garnering a fair amount of critical chatter right now, so might be worth checking out. Beyond that, for PS3, Fairy Fencer F is coming out, or came out on Tuesday, long
you
ago.
Fence fairies?
Let's find out together. long ago, a dreadful war was fought between the goddess and the vile god. Because they were equally matched, they were both created. They both created a vast number of special weapons imbued with godly energy, each containing the life force of a fairy. Okay, so you might actually fence with a fairy. Anyway,
it makes you think of A Bug's Life when they grab the stick and he starts making sounds like if he's a sword. Swish, slash, stab, swish, parry, thrust.
It could be just like that. I don't know.
That would be awesome.
Beyond that, we also have for a PC a game called Endless Legend. It looks like it's also going to be a pretty successfully created PC game, mostly in the strategy vein. A lot of people have a lot of good press to say about it. In the not-so-great press, Tropico 5, also coming out for PC. A lot of people, it sounds like, are saying that it's basically Tropico 04, except with a little bit better graphics. So hopefully if you've been looking for Tropico 5 for a while, it ends up being something a little bit more enjoyable than that. Let's see, tons of stuff this week. Also, not since 1988 have we seen a version of this game. Wasteland 2 picks up now from the post-apocalyptic world on computer, and it's slated to release tomorrow.
Alrighty. Very cool. So, from the land of the video entertainment, we move to a place that's sort of a mixed bag. It's one part reality, like you can pick up a real copy if you go down to your local comic shop, or you can pick it up on Comixology or some other digital system. So you can have your comics and eat them too, if you want. I don't know.
Are they made of kale?
They might be. I think I may have stretched that analogy a bit far. Anyways, on to what's really important, which is the comics themselves. You might consider picking up Fables, number 144. If all these future end plot arc stories don't really grab you, you might try Fables. It's a definite departure from your cape and spandex stories, but this one sounds like it could be interesting. Bigby has returned, and it's not pretty. A golden knight has it in mind to return Bigby back to the darkness from which he came. This will probably put another meaning to the phrase, paint the town red. Also, previews put up a really super cheeky description of this, which is all done in verse, and it's worth a read. I'll put a link up in a sec.
Okay.
It's pretty fun. Then on Crosstown at Marvel, it's Deadpool, biannual number one. The Merc with the Mouth has been hired to keep Waterworld safe from a group of overzealous activists. But who can be prepared to face down the brute force? And you ought to look up brute force on Wikipedia. They're resurrecting some characters for this one.
Huh.
Like actual dead characters, or
well, no, like, in the same way that they resurrected like Guardians of the Galaxy kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Then it's Dark. Then from Dark Horse, that's Dark Horse Presents, 2014 number 2. This award-winning anthology series returns with an excellent collection, including stories from Resident Alien, An Untold Tale from the World of Aliens, featuring Hicks, Action Philosophy, Sabretooth Swordsman, and more. You can get your fill in this double size. That's 48 pages of comics joy in this issue. From
that's
Image.
That's value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Multiple stories and double the size. Awesome. Manifest Destiny is from Image this week, and it's it's Manifest Destiny number 10. When humans are no longer the apex predator, what stalks the night? Lewis and Clark are about to find out while stranded on a river. And then our friends at Wow Cool, who also just came back from SPX, recommend Sugar Skull by Charles Burns. It's the third and final chapter in Doug's strange adventure, and this time the nightmarish world and the real world collide.
Ooh.
There you go. Collisions nice. Are excellent comic book material.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, that's a fact.
We have science to back it up.
Right. I'll give a link somewhere. To the statistics.
Yeah.
I'm sure it exists somewhere.
Yeah.
It's all been well documented.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before I get to music, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. To round out the new releases, I've got some new music that dropped this week. A new album from Engineers called Always Returning. This is the fourth full-length release for the British band that now includes Ulrich Schanass, Matthew Lindley, and Mark Peters. We've got an album from the band This Will Destroy You called Another Language. The third full-length studio release for the Texas Quartet is described by the band as Doom Gaze.
Something like that.
Yeah. Then we have a 5-track EP from the band Moonface called City Wrecker. They are Canadian musician Spencer Krug's solo project Moonface was recorded while he had been living in Finland. And we have an album from the band Jaws called Be Slowly. The debut full-length release for the British indie pop band led by Connor Schofield was produced by Dream Track. Then we have, to the fans, Babs, to everyone else, Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Partners.
Okay.
Produced by Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Walter Afanasyev. The album from the multi-award-winning vocalist includes duets with Babyface, Andrea Bocelli, Michael Bublé, Jason Gould, Josh Groban, Billy Joel, John Legend, John Mayer, Lionel Richie, Blake Shelton, Steve Wonder, and with the help of technology, a duet with the late Elvis Presley.
With science and technology.
So there That's you go. Awesome. I know you're all dying out there for the new duet album from Barbara Streisand or Babs.
I can't wait.
I know. That's why I included it just for you.
Yeah.
And our and our 9 unique listeners.
Anyway, Thank you, Internet.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for the new releases of this week. We're going to take a music break and then come back with the news. Let's tease the folks some news.
There's finally something on Lifetime, the network, that I might actually want to see.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's not news. That's just me.
it's sort of newsy though. How about there's this little fruit company that makes a thing that has a new version out that came out today. So we'll probably talk about that some.
Okay.
All right.
Are they local?
Yeah, they're based out of Cupertino. So
oh wow,
you may have heard of them. I didn't even know they grew fruit over there anymore.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can build out of silicon these days.
Man, orchards.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Something.
In the valley.
All right.
Whoa, the valley. Hey.
So you'll definitely want to stick around for that. We'll be right back after some music breaks with some more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Through it.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 from the Underground Sound. We are now in...
News.
That's right, we're in the news. Who's got our first story?
I guess I'll lead in.
Okay.
Okay. If you were a hardcore fan of Grumpy Cat, as I know we all were... You're probably mourning the loss of the constant flow of internet memes with the completely sad or slash angry face slash grumpy face of the cat. Anyway, Lifetime Network decided to make a Christmas movie featuring Grumpy Cat. Nice. It's Grumpy Cat's worst Christmas ever. It's going to come out November 29th. And okay, and if that doesn't sell you already as the absolute best thing to ever air on Lifetime Network, Grumpy Cat is going to be voiced by Aubrey Plaza.
Nice.
That's about perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she'll do Grumpy fairly well.
Yeah. I mean... I'm slightly afraid that she's getting typecast as all those roles, but yeah, it is pretty perfect.
I'm okay with that. I can't speak for her.
True.
Or her agent or whoever, but so far I enjoy the typecast.
Yeah. She's definitely good at it. And when is it premiering? Did you say?
November 29th.
November, okay.
Yes.
So still got a little bit of ways, but...
Yeah.
Being there for the holidays.
Be patient.
For the holidays.
And get to work on those Grumpy Cat Christmas special memes right now. Because the Facebook page like needs help. So go out there, do that.
Caleb sounds thrilled for people to do that.
Yeah. No, it's
Caleb's gonna get right on that. I can tell. He's gonna put his Photoshop skills to work.
I did stuff on Photoshop once. It was awful.
Okay, nice save. Nice save.
Thank you. Let's see. So I mentioned somewhat cheekily a little fruit company that exists here in Cupertino, and yes, I was being sarcastic because obviously we're talking about
viciously sarcastic.
I changed myself and said slightly sarcastic.
Vishcastic.
Vish. The company is Apple, and they make
much better than Pear.
Mm-hmm. They make some pretty neat technology devices that have proliferated across the world, and. At their last major conference, they were talking about, at the major developers conference in the summer, they talked about their new version of their handheld operating system, iOS.
Mm.
It was kind of one of the big things that they'd spent a lot of time talking about.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is going to be kind of a big deal because when you add iOS 8, it brings in a lot of features that, depending on who you talk to, and Android users can smugly smirk at this now that they have had for a little while.
I'm preparing to smugly smirk. I'm bracing myself.
Yeah, you know, things like a greater level of inter-app sharing of data and function.
Oh, you didn't have that before?
It was there, but it was different. It wasn't...
Okay.
There was some, but it was not like as deep or as readily available as it was on Android.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They also are now
on.
They also are now going to give the option of having third-party keyboards, which means that those of you who love Swift type, which is the one where you just drag your finger across the keyboard and it starts creating words and sentences as you just move your finger across it, that will be an option now.
I just do that for fun to see what it thinks I'm thinking.
There's that too.
Speaking of fun, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
And that's definitely fun.
Yes.
That's how I post on Twitter. I mean, that's all I do.
But the key thing that you'll want to know about iOS right now is that it's available right now.
What?
No.
Yes. Now, bear in mind, this is initial release. There will be a certain amount of polish that will be coming in months to come. Like, this is whenever you do a major revision of any piece of software, there's always going to be a certain amount of, oh, wow, that's when a million people do this all at the exact same instant, this thing goes kaput. Well, we need to fix that. You can do a lot of testing. You can get a lot of information out of your beta, but there is always that point where when you release it into the public and people get their grubby little paws on it and they find all the holes that you're like, how did you even, you really, you did that. That's amazing. Okay. Very good.
Is there an iOS update?
It's about once a year.
Okay.
About every other year or so. It's about every other year. It's like when there's a new major number in the iPhone release is about the time you'll see a major iOS release.
Okay.
Give or take. This isn't a hard and fast rule. Usually they update the phones faster than the OS itself.
It's a low and slow rule.
They realize that iOS is kind of it's their bacon factory. It's like that's where most of their money is made.
I like that. Okay. And it's Apple's bacon factory. Let's analyze that for a moment. I'm imagining an apple like puking bacon. Just like brah.
All kinds of bacon or just
no, just a steady stream. Like you know how you usually have bacon in like about a 6-inch slice? It's like an endless roll of bacon.
Oh.
Just like that.
Sure.
I mean it's sanitary. It's not it's not actual puke. It's bacon, it's wholesome.
Suffice to say, they have been working on implementing greater inter-app operability while still maintaining the sandboxing and security that many people that rely and enjoy using iOS will be able to continue to enjoy.
Okay.
This does not mean that their cloud services are as secure as the OS itself. This is one of the things that Apple, like people, there's been a few people that have been bemoaning the iWeb or no, what are they calling it? Their cloud storage system, iCloud. There we go, iCloud.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where the latest rash of like celebrity nude photos has come from, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone hacked that. And it goes to show that that's the one thing that Apple has not quite figured out how to do as well as they do hardware and internal software.
They're working on the cloud surfing.
One
of these days they're going to do it just as well as Kit from Tailspin.
Yes. I've been waiting.
Man.
To be able to Tailspin use
reference.
A Tailspin reference.
That
you're welcome, audience.
Yeah.
You're even welcome.
Probably went over 95% of our audience's head, but
which makes sense because they were in a plane. But look that up on the internet.
Oh, wow!
Shall we go back to the Apple?
But nothing goes over my
bacon.
Head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
So
it's out now. If you're going to install it, like I said, there will probably be some minor things, some issues that you will come across. The first of which people are finding out is that it's going to take a bigger chunk to update. If you're doing it over the air, it's going to take about 4 gigs of space on the phone to update. Which,
how much space do they have?
Depends on which one you get. The base level is 16.
That's a decent chunk.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be its ultimate size. I'm sure as like they optimize, it may shrink down again.
It's expandable, right?
The So that's something that people will probably want to. You want to, one, make sure you have a very good backup your phone before you update it. You always want to back up your thing that you rely upon every single day before you change anything on it, because you rely on it every single day.
It's true.
Backup first.
It's true.
And then update. And then, you know, you might need to move some files around, or one of the workarounds is to make sure you plug it into your computer, and then it can do update over that and will move things around a little bit more automatically.
That's good. Because it uses that new Lightning wire or something like that, right?
iTunes.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was a faster connection, but
there's that. But there's the connection. I mean, it's the connection's still USB 2 or USB 3, depending on what you have.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's out. You might want to enjoy it, but enjoy responsibly by backing up first and then adding it to your system. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
Always good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Back it up.
Back it up so you can get it back.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you.
Speaking of things that could be nice if they plan out, I have a story. Apparently, Dan Aykroyd has plans for a massive Ghostbusters universe.
Right.
Ooh.
So watch out, Marvel. Take heed, Lucasfilm. Be afraid, DC Comics. There may be a new franchise player in town, Ghostbusters. Sure, it's been 3 decades since the original film came out, but star Dan Aykroyd believes the franchise has what it takes to compete with the likes of Star Wars and the Marvelverse. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Aykroyd said the Ghostbusters creative team has a 10-year vision, starting with Ghostbusters 3, which begins filming next spring. Quote, "It's beyond just another sequel, a prequel, another TV show," he said. "I'm thinking, what does the whole brand mean to Sony? What does Pixar and Star Wars mean to Disney? What does Marvel mean to Fox?" And though he's keen on the idea of an all-female Ghostbusters movie, Aykroyd thinks they don't have to stop there. They could explore the whole mythology from the beginning of their lives, the end of their lives, Ghostbusters at 9 years old, Ghostbusters in high school. So, there you go.
Okay.
If things go as planned, my advice, don't hold your breath.
Right.
Since, like the article said, it's been 30 years since the original dropped.
The history of the drafts of Ghostbusters 3 has been an interesting one.
Yeah, but it is nice to hear that there's bigger plans.
Yeah.
And not just like, well, okay, let's just do this third one and then shut people up, because
I think it has potential, but I think Dan Aykroyd is probably a little bit crazy also.
It's true.
But those two things do not necessarily mean that one will nix the other.
That is true also. And Ghostbusters is kind of a crazy film, if you go back and think about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody goes around busting ghosts.
Nope.
Nobody.
Or strapping radioactive piles to their backs.
Okay, people do that, but
on occasion.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah.
So there you go. If you have been dying for Ghostbuster news, and dreaming about bigger Ghostbuster news, maybe it's going to happen.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That is widespread.
Before you jump into your next story,
one of our
astute listeners has chimed in saying that they are totally in for a Grumpy Cat Christmas special.
Sweet.
Well, Lifetime has 2 viewers guaranteed. Probably 3. I might check it out.
I know a third one who will want to see the...
Okay, all right.
So
we got a handful. There you go, Lifetime. We're slowly building the audience for that.
Right.
I had a Christmas special once. It was awful.
So, if Lifetime wants even more viewers, they can bring the movie Back to the Future 2 to their network.
Sure.
I had a reason for saying that, besides me just hopelessly trying to add Lifetime to the Back to the Future 2 type of thing. Anyway, I'd done a story a while back about Nike actually getting into a deal to create the future shoes that Michael J. Fox wore in Back to the Future 2.
Does that include the auto tightening laces?
Nike is making the auto tightening laces, apparently.
That is actually really awesome.
Okay. So that is not going to happen really quickly. Apparently it's going to happen sometime next year. But if you cannot wait until then, you can get your fix in September for under $100.
On Route 66?
No.
No. But that's just silly. I mean, come on.
Maybe. I guess you could have them shipped there. Anyway. So, you can have these shoes shipped to Route 66.
Or maybe drivers will be driving down Route 66 with them for the shipping.
They won't be using hoverboards on Route 66, that's for sure. And they won't, unfortunately, be having the auto-tightening laces either.
Boo.
But, I mean, under $100 and available practically now.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It has the aesthetic is definitely worth something there.
They actually glow. They have LEDs both in the soles and on the heel.
Okay, they're getting me back.
Right. Two-toned LEDs with like blue shining on the bottom, and the heels are like a nice orange color. I like it.
Okay.
It's actually pretty much the Back to the Future logo and background as the colors of the LEDs for the shoes.
No accident there, I'm guessing.
Right. But here's kind of the catch. Technically, it's part of a Halloween costume.
Okay.
I don't know what that means as far as the quality of the shoes, since it's a costume piece instead of an actual, like, shoe. So I don't know if that means, like, pay less level of shoe quality, which is really great. I'm not trying to knock you, Payless. We love your products. I buy them all the time. We do not know.
There's just a certain amount of known unknown in that.
Right. But you can charge up the LEDs with a USB cable. So, I mean, that's pretty neat, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like you can have your smartwatch for
and
your shoes.
And eat it too.
Yes, something like that.
No.
No?
What? Yeah. I wouldn't recommend eating smartwatches.
No, they're full of all sorts of heavy metals that you probably shouldn't be ingesting. Same with printer ink. You just don't want to mess with that.
Mm-mm. Okay. So your next story is about printer ink?
Not so much printer ink, but it is pulling from the depths of history a bit. And it has heavy things.
Which can be printed.
I'm going to go with this. It has lots of heavy. It's heavy news because it has to deal with rock.
That's heavy, man.
Ooh,
totally heavy.
Before you get to that, speaking of rock.
You're ready to rock!
The Luna Park Arts Foundation is once again sponsoring its 7th annual Luna Park Chalk.
Yeah.
Chalk Festival on Saturday.
Why did you pause there? That's awesome.
Okay.
Chalk Arts!
Woo!
I was trying to go with the rock.
Squibbity-doo!
Anyway, it's on Saturday, September 20th. That's this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bagdesto Park in downtown San Jose. Proceeds from the festival support local artists and youth arts programs. We hope to be able to support even more arts programs and artists this year. The festival hosts an array of talented artists chalking the pathways of the park and is also host to some of the best musical groups, performers, food trucks, and arts and crafts vendors in the area. It is truly a day of artistic celebration. Please visit our website, lunaparkchalkart, all one word, .org, to find out more about the event. I left out the www dot because I assumed people knew.
Yeah, people kind of know at this point.
And I should hope so.
Plus it rolls off the tongue better that way. So. Mm-hmm.
And usually you don't have to type the www.
Yeah.
Not normally anymore.
Yeah. So
most of the browsers add that themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Most Android devices have had that for like a year.
Most browsers have been doing that since about 98. So yes. They have.
Giggle.
Smart Alec. Come closer so I can punch you. No.
I'm right here. Bring it.
Oh, man.
I got to bring the news first.
He's got to bring the rock news.
That's true.
This news may rock you. The Stonehenge has been a site of interesting
of rocks.
Of rocks, yes.
Yeah.
But of deep interest both historically, so, you know, like what does it mean to society? Like, not society per se. It's not so significant to us anymore. But like right. the
what does it say about hinges in general?
Anthropologists and other and historians have been enticed by what this might have meant to those when it was first made, and archaeologists believe that they have actually determined that Stonehenge was actually a complete circle.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah.
Is that what the aliens needed? Was there like some sort of landing apparatus or?
Well, if aliens. Well, the pyramids were taken, and so
that's true.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone already had the pyramids. The others went for the.
Somebody already parked in the pyramids. Like, man, they already took that right. spot.
Oh man.
Oh, there's that one.
Thankfully, we're right. saucers and rounds. So we can fit in this thing.
Yeah.
No.
That's what Earth was back then. Just a giant parking lot. For all the different alien species.
Right. It was like the Route 66.
Yeah, yeah.
Stopover.
They just made all the humans like, right. build us some parking garages.
Right.
we're gods and stuff.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, pyramids. Yes.
Quickly
yes.
ship us some shoes.
But no, like, the, you know, there was always kind of a speculation about, like, what was Stonehenge before? What was its purpose? What did it look like?
Right.
Why was it? You know, there, but they found that it was actually a complete circle because recently during a drought that happened in the area, they were actually able to trace out places where the firmament was thinner, therefore the grass was dying out sooner, and they found like a pattern of a circle of rocks and things like that. So it's just kind of interesting getting to understand more about what it is, and just kind of funny that the way we determined that it was actually circular was because they missed out on rain for a while, and now that I think at this point one of the funniest parts is like, oh, because of no rain, we now have determined amazing historical facts about this monument.
When bad stuff happens, knowledge.
Sometimes, yes.
There you go.
True.
It's a silver lining to that that non-existent rain cloud.
Take the good out from the bad.
Snap victory from the jaws of defeat.
Sugar.
Yes.
Helps something the like knowledge that. Go down.
Speaking of sugar,
eh?
for some out there.
Uh-huh. Unless you're sugar intolerant.
It's true. But this isn't literal sugar.
Hey. Oh, okay.
A lot of people out there are fans of Loki, specifically the actor who played Loki.
Oh, okay.
Tom Hiddleston.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he is dreamy.
He's going to star in the King Kong origin film Skull Island.
Oh, okay.
Thor and Avengers actor Tom Hiddleston. Yes, Loki himself will star in Legendary Entertainment's film Skull Island. The film will reportedly be an origin story for King Kong. Hiddleston will headline Skull Island for director Jordan Roberts. The Kings of Summer, according to Variety, again, Latino review, not...
they're on top of
out,
it.
Man. They're missing out. They're missing out. I said, according to Variety.
Oh, okay.
Not Latino review.
Oh, okay.
They're not, apparently not on top of it. They keep getting missing these things.
Man. Slacking off.
I know. Original reports stated that Legendary was eyeing Attack the Block filmmaker Joe Cornish for the gig, but the trade says the studio moved on because he was busy with Section 6. Godzilla scribe Max Borenstein is penning the Skull Island script, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
Sort of monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
Which will take place in King Kong's Dangerous World. Legendary unveiled the project at Comic-Con this past July, surprising many in the process, with a November 4th, 2016 release date. As for Tom Hiddleston, if you're like, well, I don't want to wait that long to see him again, you can see him in Guillermo del Toro's next flick, Crimson Peak.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be cool and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You get Loki and King Kong in the same movie. and probably some dinosaurs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get Andy Serkis also.
He's the dinosaur, right?
He could be. We should do a virtual off between him and Doug Jones.
That'll work.
Yeah. They should get both of them in the next Apes movie.
Ooh, that would be really cool. All
right, other than that, exciting news in the world of 3D printers.
Yeah!
If you've been waiting to get a 3D printer in your own home, but have been bothered by the fact that no major name brand has made one yet,
mm-hmm.
Now there is a 3D printer specifically for you. Dremel brand, mostly known for creating tools that people make a whole bunch of cosplay items out of, mm-hmm. or with, not out of, with.
I'm sure someone's tried to make something out of it.
As well as various other small power tools. They decided to get into the 3D printer game. It's basically the spool-fed type of 3D printer, and it's not large, but it does allow you to get into the 3D printing realm for just under $1,000.
All right.
Yeah.
So if you've been dreaming about making, like, your own game and want to make game pieces or small objects of that like that, you could definitely do that.
Something well, fun. I mean, if it works.
Yeah, so as long as it works.
So I'm assuming that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty exciting.
That is really cool.
Up until now, the best competition for it, so to speak, was the MakerBot replicator system,
mm-hmm.
and they've been making a wider range of 3D printers, including a small one that was right around $3,000. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a step up in lower prices.
Mm-hmm. that makes sense. Yeah. 3D printing revolution coming to a desktop near you. How yeah. cool is that?
I think it's pretty neat.
I think it's very cool.
I'm a fan mm-hmm. of all of it. And that's probably why I do like a 3D printing story at least every other episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I just got alerted to this by one of our astute listeners. The Deadpool movie has been greenlit.
Yes, that is true.
And it is still going to be with Mr. So, and it looks like it's still going. I should say it looks like it's still going to be with Mr. Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
So, wow, that's totally awesome. Like they're scheduling it for February of next year. So,
of next year?
Wait, oh no, 2016. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So, wow, they better start filming on that.
Yeah, their current release date is February 12th, 2016. I transpose the 6 into a 5 in my brain.
It's
so
right. It's numbers.
Yeah.
Who needs them?
This will be the feature film debut of Tim Miller, who was the effects guy who has been known as an effects person, and his most notable sequence is probably the opening titles for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's cool.
So we'll see how that does. This I'm sure this got bolstered by the rather good job that Days of Future Past did at the box office. So,
well, that and they made a short teaser trailer that did amazing,
mm-hmm.
big business for not selling anything.
Yeah, yeah. The people are there. Are some who are a little bit uncertain about what it's going to be like because like Deadpool isn't necessarily one for the kiddies.
Right.
So, like, will they be able to get a large enough audience draw if they push for more, like, authentic Deadpool, or will they tone Deadpool down enough that they can get a PG-13 rating?
To me, I would probably rather have it be rated R, but that said, have you seen all the violence that they're putting into like PG-13 movies these days?
It's true.
It's basically just less cursing and no blood with all of the same violence. So I think they might be able to pull it off.
Yeah, I guess depending on how they shoot it, they could probably like, you know, skirt some of the gore.
And innuendo usually goes through pretty easy, too.
Fair enough.
Which I'm sure he is chock full of as well.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it has potential either way. I'd rather see it them going for broke, but I'd probably survive without it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Plus, based on the director that they chose, it doesn't sound like they're completely throwing all in on it being a major franchise or anything like that. This is probably going to be a one shot. So,
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But yeah. But speaking of major franchises, specifically an actor from a major franchise.
Okay.
It looks like Doctor Who star Matt Smith has landed another fun role in a movie. THR is reporting that the actor has joined the cast of the feature film adaptation of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Nice.
This film has been in development for years, but it's finally set to start shooting on September 24th. Burr Steers, 17 again, is directing the film. I did not make up that name. Which also stars Lily James, Sam Riley, Jack Houston, Bella Heathcott, and Douglas Booth. The book is an expanded version of the Jane Austen classic, and the film will tell the story of Liz Bennett, a woman on a quest for love and independence amid the outbreak of a deadly virus that turns the dead into vicious killers. Smith will play a character named Mr. Collins, a person who is on the lookout for a wife and proposes to Bennett. Smith recently, which I did not know this, wrapped production on Terminator Genisys, spelled G-E-N-I-S-Y-S.
Right.
It's a weird...
Like, why? Because they could...
And there's a Y in it. Cynodyne Systems as well. I think that one's spelled with a Y. So it might be kind of a callback to that.
It makes some sense. Yeah.
And he makes his U.S. acting debut.
Or Y chromosomes?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Yeah, maybe their Terminator's built out of just purely the Y chromosome.
I guess we'll have to see.
Mm.
Why not?
It's possible.
Yeah.
And apparently he makes his U.S. acting debut in Ryan Gosling's upcoming film, Lost River.
Hmm. Ryan Gosling as actor or director? I'm not familiar with this. Oh, okay.
I don't know. Never heard of Lost River.
Neither have I.
Sorry. If you know out there, let Caleb know.
If you're a devoted
cosplayer.
He's
on the edge of a seat.
I'm just curious.
He needs to know if Ryan Gosling is acting and directing or both.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you're going to fall off your seat if you
yeah.
get any closer.
What would you prefer? Would you prefer both or him just acting or him directing?
I'd be curious to see what he'd do as a director.
Okay.
So but then again, I'm always curious to see what, like, when actors like get behind the camera and like kind of like push what they think film is. I think that's always kind of interesting myself. Mm. Some of them do it very well.
Then you can condescendingly sit back and say, oh, so that's what you think film is. I guess. I mean, you personally.
Yeah.
Probably more me than you. But, yeah.
One of our listeners has also chimed in about the Guillermo del Toro and Hiddleston pair up and says that sounds like, to quote, yes, please, with two exclamation points.
Mm, okay. our listeners are apparently fans of both.
Yes. Yes, I believe she is.
Hi.
How do you know the listeners is she?
Picture on the profile.
Okay, you go.
Okay. Meanwhile, want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? ? Stream us whenever you want at KSEU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Oh yeah.
And
underground.
Of course.
It's underground.
The advice
with
we
sound.
Always
oh, yes.
give.
And when searching for our station, remember to search for KSCU. Our call letters are unique. Our frequency is not. So that's the fastest way to find us on either TuneIn.
We're frequently ununique.
No.
Anyway, I think that's going to do it for the news, right?
Yes, I think that'll wrap that up.
All right.
Nicely.
We're going to take another music break, and then we'll come back with some geek talk and then jump into the core. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Remember, it's not too late to participate like we've had today
yes.
already.
And it's always time to rhyme.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, make time for the rhyme if you Can't do the crime. I have no idea where I'm going with that. I'm not a freestyler. But yes, if you wish to give us your freestyling or to participate with us on the show, give us comments or thoughts on our stories or things you think we should cover in the future, you can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack Show. Facebook.com/Robots Attack Show. That's our own unique URL. Or search for Robots Attack, two
or
words.
Earl, as people say.
Shush you.
As the Pixie Chicks like to call it.
Or you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one word. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you want one place to get everything Robots Attack, that is robotsattack.me. We also post archive episodes of our show there, so you can catch up on your geekitude or just find out more about what we talk about, because it's totally cool.
Or find out exactly how humorous we are.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's get to that music. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in Geek Talk. This is where we kick back and just talk about some stuff we've done, played, watched, all that jazz. And Caleb has actually been playing a game.
Yes, recently. I have. I've been digging into Bioshock Infinite. Yes, I know I'm a year behind everybody else, but I cannot express how satisfying it is to play this game. Partly because, one, it's really good, and two, like, because I'm a year behind, I got all the hype from people talking about it, and I still think it holds up. Like, there's plenty of things where it's like, you hear, oh, this game is great, you should play it, and you try it, and you're like, it's not. Now, this one's really good. I am enjoying the heck out of this game. And as a tribute to how good this game is, my wife, who is not a fan of the first-person shooter as a general genre, is requested that I not play it when she's not around so that she can actually enjoy the game with me. So,
that's a good sign.
That is a very good sign. And one of the things I take away from that is that many people have said that this is the first game in their mind that really achieved that what many people call capital A art, where it's like it's that, you know, where it's taking on the challenges that, you know, all that fine artists aspire to, you know, cultivate, like, you know, dealing with philosophy and trying to expand on topics that they think are interesting and they think that others should understand in a different way than just the way they always have been thinking about it. And I've yet to finish the game. I haven't finished it yet, but
oh, okay.
I would say that this one definitely has that feel of like the more I play it, the more I see very intentional creative choices made by the designers, both visually and structurally, like in the game itself. And like, and they didn't just like make a basic, I mean, make a super basic plot. Like, it's really, I think the plot's really well put together. And whenever you're dealing with time travel and quantum states, it's going to get a little bit more complicated, but that's kind of the joy of it. One of the things that I've been really enjoying is like, the more I play is like, there's lots of little things. Like, if you're paying attention to the way the characters are interacting and what they're saying and what you're, and kind of how they, even just like the bumpers in between the load on the loading screens, like they give you insights into the personalities and to sort of how the creators see these characters. Also, it's not just you, like, and also by giving the protagonist a voice, your hero character a voice, that changes a lot right there. Cause you know, then they give them dialogue. They can do more with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'll be curious to see. I'll ask, like, once you finish, which one you like better, Bioshock or Bioshock Infinite? But since you haven't finished Infinite yet,
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah, they're both excellent. But I must say I'm enjoying the heck out of this game. It is really really satisfying.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll leave it with that.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into the core now. And,
entering.
Yes.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
We're going to talk about Destiny. It dropped last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sold really well.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of hype throughout the months and, say, years that it's been, you know, advertised and whatnot everywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's been interesting once it finally dropped, the reaction sort of from people and critics. I guess especially critics is kind of what we're going to sort of hit up on this. But go for it. I'll let you lead, Jason, on this one. Since
the big thing that's been interesting to me about the critical reaction to the game is that it seems to be taking a real beating on the storyline front and how it seems to be devoid of emotion and how it's trying to be too many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me because it wasn't that long ago that it was the default for a lot of these games to leave you in a kind of a void so that you'd fill in the blanks yourself and that you'd have your own natural curiosity filling in the gaps and really making you wonder where they're going to take a game in the future.
Right.
And it was a big stylistic choice for how things were constructed for a long time during like 80s and 90s, especially, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to me now when Bungie, who obviously grew up with that same idea, and the Halo games, best I can tell, are pretty well built on that sort of ideal as well.
Mm-hmm.
When they go back and make a game kind of like that again, it's interesting to see people's replies to it when we've gotten used to so much heavier storyline and so much more dialogue and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to me, especially considering that this game, it doesn't seem to be based around near so much like a normal storyline as much as you being subjected to or exploring events that are happening around you.
Right.
So you don't have a bunch of characters endlessly talking about things. So
yeah, the expositional dialogue is fairly light, at least in this game. Like, not that there's none of it, but it's not like.
And it's interesting too because your only real friend in the game, so to speak, is a little robot thing, and people have really gone after the game also because the robot is voiced by Peter Dinklage, who is a very good actor.
Yes,
and so to have him not fully practice all of his acting chops for any character, I understand how that would be distasteful for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like all of his acting is really toned down for it. But on the other hand, it also seems like another one of those style choices to me because it's also kind of reinforcing the entire idea of you filling in the blanks yourself, but on top of that, it's it is a little robot.
yeah,
best I can tell, it's not supposed to have like a full on personality. It's literally made to go out and create heroes.
Yeah, the ghosts go out and scour the globe and find people they think are. Be good guardians, which is what your player is in the game, and then brings them back to fight off the darkness.
Yeah.
Or push back the darkness, as they say.
Right.
And I think that might be part of it, is that like there is a certain amount of air, for lack of a better phrase, in some of the plotting that and design that personally I think is kind of cool. Like that is something that an aspect of these games that I wish some of them would do a little bit more of, because I feel like a lot of times like you get this plot kind of, I mean there's games like I just talk about how praising Bioshock Infinite for having a really good plot and being a really good game,
right?
But I also like when it
and
comes
there's people talking in that, right?
It's a lot of talking. There's a lot of good talking in that, okay. but it's interesting. It's like watching a movie. It's cool. But one of the things I liked about Borderlands was that there was a lot. Most of what you did that made things interesting was you would go out into the world and do things.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes interact with occasionally strange characters, but like that's still that kind of open world go kind of make it for yourself what you think it is, and I find that rather appealing about Destiny, because it is such a broad canvas, so to speak, that you could you can put almost anything on there and you'll find a piece of it that appeals to you.
Yeah, and it's kind of an awkward setting to begin with, just because the post-apocalyptic setting is so complete in its post-apocalypticness that there's nobody there left with any personality. So you can't run around like the Badlands of Russia and come across like some weird old man, because he would have been killed a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like long, long time ago, apparently. So
yeah. The one refuge of life on the planet is the city underneath the Traveler, and we have, and that hasn't, as far as I know, it's still really early days, but as far as I know, that hasn't been opened up to any players yet. So there's
And to me, that is the one place where it's open for a little bit more criticism, just because that would be the gold mine of the personality of the world, the setting that they've created,
mm-hmm.
to see what humans are like now down there.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they put you up in the tower with a bunch of other people who have been recently resurrected, who also have no idea what they're doing and are just trying to adventure to figure out what the heck they're going to do with their lives,
mm-hmm.
after being dead for apparently thousands of years.
Their new lives.
So,
yeah.
Speaking of new lives or helping a life stay new or whatnot. Anyway, yeah, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Yeah, the other thing, I mean, we should say too, is none of us here have beaten the story like campaign yet. So
that's true.
But going off from what we've heard and what we've seen kind of so far, it still does seem to be some of the critiques about sort of a lack of any kind of personality or sort of story. It's a little more, you kind of have to dig yourself to find things.
Right.
Or...
Mm-hmm.
And I also wonder in some ways if like the, this might come out strange, but like sort of the sheer volume of character that is Borderlands has sort of spoiled some people's tastes for a more subdued universe.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, it's why I, at the beginning, had no interest in the game practically at all, other than the fact that I knew that people that I enjoyed playing video games with were going to be playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've completely reversed my opinion on it, just because it's a lot of fun messing around in that setting to me. I don't know why, and I might be kind of an oddity in the statistical environment, but
an outlier, as it were.
Right, but it has been a really satisfying thing, just figuring out what my character can do and trying to figure out how
the different things that allow your character to advance, mostly the loot system, affect the character. And to me, the most interesting stories have been from the people that are really deep into the MMO scene, because a lot of them seem to be... They have a lot of criticisms, but what it seems like a lot of them are noticing is that there's a much deeper system in place in the game than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Because there, you can kind of see little references to things all over the place in the tower that you don't know what the heck they're even talking about. And the fact is, you don't have the ability to use those things until you get through the game and you get to max level, quote unquote, the 20th level, because the max level is kind of a fiction.
Right.
Because it ends up building off of the things that you end up unlocking and how they absorb light, I guess, is how it works. So you gain extra levels based on the loot that you have. So it ends up making the strikes and the raids a much bigger deal, just because that's obviously where you're going to get the best stuff. And on top of that, the thing that was interesting to me, because I've been playing it a lot since it came out, is they already changed it drastically just in the last couple of days. And I was enjoying it before. Just in the last few days, they really upped the range of what weapons can do. Like, it's much more interesting weapons that have been popping out in the last little while. And this is with a fairly low-level character that I'm just starting out just because I wanted to mess around with the Warlock.
Right.
Yeah, I'm already getting things like fully automatic shotguns that spray lightning storms. I think they're going to angle a lot more that direction. They just wanted things to start very slow and build up. It is best that I can tell.
Which makes a degree of sense. So they want, because it's also a very Bungie way of doing things. So they've ascribed to themselves a certain level of quality to the games that they make, and they want and they've made no bones about how they want Destiny to be the thing that carries them for the next few years.
Yeah.
So like it makes sense to me that they would kind of play a little bit more cautious with the open, and then like start opening up a little bit more crazy, but start pushing the throttle on the wow, they can do that as it goes on.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the thing that's probably made them the most ecstatic, because it seems like they were in it for the long game to begin with. Mm-hmm. That they were creating a game that people would want to keep coming back on and kind of chipping away at crafting a character the way that they want in order to have their ability stack in just the right way so that they're able to do absolutely crazy things with not completely mind-shattering abilities to begin with, but because you're stacking them with all sorts of weird combinations of loot that allow your different abilities to cooperate with each other and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they wanted to have, at least with the universe itself, like they have kind of a 10-year plan, I think is the idea.
Right.
Right.
So,
yeah, which... If you're planning a game for the next 10 years, your opening is going to be not necessarily as grand as, say, Borderlands, which they weren't sure if they were going to have a sequel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people who were expecting an outright MMO, it's interesting, too, just because it's only ever going to be a pseudo-MMO. It's going to have the elements... But where it's shining more than I think a lot of people expected was the loot system actually seems to have a lot of depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be curious to know if, since it is available on the previous generation of consoles, that being the 360 and the PS3, if that held anything back in this first sort of game iteration,
That would make sense. Like they would do that to make a nice stable platform. That's, you know, let's make let's like first step nice and solid, and then we can start going upward from there, perhaps.
Because it requires you to have online. So like it is, you know, it's a game. Yeah. It's like you need online. So,
and I'll admit that's one of the main frustrations that I've run into, is that the second you lose any online connection, you are kicked out of the game. So if you don't have a fairly stable connection, you're going to have a hard time with this game. Because, it apparently updates absolutely constantly. So,
But I'd be sort of curious, you know, because from what I've heard, that, like, while it's not as pretty as on, you know, the Xbox One or PS4, I've still heard that the PS3 and 360 versions are still pretty good. So yeah, that's
the side-by-side comparisons are pretty on par with each other, at least with the character rendering.
Yeah. So, so I get my interest would just be more of like, did it not so much hold back on like kind of the graphic end, but just, I mean, like where the places you can go, and that sort of thing. Like, did that limit it, or are they, as we've sort of mentioned, since they do have this long plan, are they going to be like, well, we're going to open up more places on Earth or other things like down the road? Like right now it's just the old Russia, but you know, like,
yeah, in a weird sort of way, I think it's down to maybe not so much that, but the fact that these games have changed so much. I mean, not these games, since this is definitely quite a bit different one than the usual game, but the fact that games in general are kind of accepted to be, you have a release date, but it keeps evolving a little bit of time after that.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think a lot of people are still getting used to the idea of, just because I know...
Probably specifically console players, too.
Yes. Right.
They're like PC players, are that's kind of used... They're
patching
used to that.
Patching is what you do all the time.
Right. Now that these newer systems are a lot
basically
closer
PCs,
to...
Yeah,
PCs. That's something I think console players are starting... They're going to have to get used to the idea of...
Basically, the idea that the internet has anything to do with your game at all on a console is something that a lot of people are still having a hard time with. But that said, it's also interesting that there's been a lot less rebellion over Destiny being a constantly connected game than a lot of other things have ended up having.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, go back not so far to the Xbox One release and them talking about having any sort of connection that happens like once a day or something like that. And people lost their minds. And this is a game that has to be connected, like, at best I can tell, like every second. So I haven't heard people rebelling on that end anywhere near as much.
And I wonder if some of that's because they're building off of the culture of the MMO, where the constant connectivity is sort of the game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So you sort of come to expect it in a way. Like,
yeah. It's like, well, there's no internet. Well, obviously this game isn't really doing much because there isn't anything for it to pull from.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to see where this game will go, especially with the idea of using the cloud infrastructure of Azure and some of the other stuff, from like if they'll be using any of that to bolster the realms for like the not current gen systems, because calling them previous just sounds silly. Anyways.
I'd kind of hoped that they were, but unfortunately it sounds like their strategy for being a multi-platform game has kind of eliminated that, because I haven't heard of any big plans so far. Mm. To me, it's a golden opportunity for them to use something like that, but it sounds like they might be a little bit afraid of either putting too many eggs in the Microsoft basket, which would cast them as Microsoft cronies once again, which they've put a lot of effort into not being in the last little while. Especially since PlayStation pushed so heavy on all of the advertising for this game. I think that might have been one of the backroom deals that Sony pushed. Like, okay, we'll advertise you for free like crazy for practically an entire year.
if you don't utilize anything from Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. They may have even promised them some like server space in their server farms or something like that for,
yeah,
for
I think,
doing like what effectively would be like an Amazon server. Like people can make virtual machines out there and businesses run off of that. So
yeah, who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely a game. I mean, like I said, it came out last week, so it's one of those ones we'll
early
have to
days,
see,
yeah, right.
in the next and coming months, how it sort of evolves.
Yeah, and like the last other thing that I wanted to mention about them, like already updating, changing things majorly, is it. So far, a lot of people seem to really be enjoying the fact that it has random things that end up happening on the levels, whether it's like some boss character that apparently gets stranded that you're trying to take out before he makes it from one edge of the map to the other, or like various mining expeditions from enemies that you're just trying to knock out. They've already actually doubled the amount of those.
Oh, okay.
And so it's much more likely that you're going to come across stuff like that. And it feels like it felt like a big deal before, but it really changes how the game feels having something like that happen two or three times during a play session where it kind of
keeps you on your toes.
Well, yeah, it knocks you out of the groove of like, okay, I'm out here to do this specific thing, and then something else comes up where the sky turns red or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kind of grab your attention. And
yeah, it's true. It's true.
Nice. All right. Yeah, we'll definitely have to revisit Destiny in the next coming months and see,
mm-hmm.
you know, how it's changed.
And we'll give a sum up too once we get through the game, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. How we thought of the story and
right.
whatnot. So kind of where it goes.
The current story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to do it for tonight's show. I will mention one last thing.
Yes.
Which was sort of a surprise to everyone. There's another video game release dropping for the Xbox One. A game called D4.
Oh,
it was
right.
first kind of showed off as like, like a Kinect game.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you can use the controller, but the creator is kind of like getting people like, you should use the Kinect.
Uh-huh.
Like it's,
mm-hmm. like, it's
you know,
like it's intended to be used.
Yeah. Just it's the feel and design of it was, made specifically for, kind of interacting with that. But mm-hmm. apparently there was a little bit of news about it, early on, and then nothing, and then all of a sudden at TGS it was like, yeah, it's dropping tomorrow, so so yeah, that's releasing. So I figured I'd mention that since mm-hmm. the Kinect doesn't get a lot of love from most people.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an interesting genre too, since it's like a murder mystery.
Yeah, and it's made from the creator of the sort of cult classic Deadly Premonition. A lot of people don't consider that. I never played it myself, but a lot of people don't consider it a good game, but like
a very interesting game.
Classic, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's going to do it for this week's show. Next week starts the brand new schedule, sort of the regular
right.
times. Stay tuned to our pages. We'll let you all know if we're going back to, if we get our regular time slot back.
Right.
We'll mm-hmm. let you know. Hopefully, knock on wood, I'm assuming we'll get our 7 to 9 every Thursday, but just stay tuned to the Facebook and the Twitter and that sort of thing, and
mm-hmm.
we'll keep you posted.
We are just as in the dark as you are at this moment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah.
We'll probably find out this weekend at the latest.
Yeah. On we're supposed to know by Sunday or something, because all mm-hmm. the other shows, everyone's turning in their applications and stuff like that, so they'll
right.
put together the schedule and everything. So if you want to. Speaking of other shows and everything, if you go to ksu.org, click on the schedule, you can see all the other shows that are on the station here
mm-hmm.
on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. But that's going to do it for Robots Attack this week. I will mention, if you did like, maybe you're a first-time listener or you want to hear more of us, this Saturday, I and maybe someone else in here will be joining me for the last sort of sub-show for Saturday. From 5 to 7, I'll be taking over the Mystic Brewery, just subbing it since the
mm-hmm.
normal DJ is off on a new adventure I'll just leave it at that.
Good luck to you wherever you are.
Yeah, and I should mention this was brought up at our last sort of general meeting. This Sunday will be EO's very last show.
Wait, oh, wow.
He's been DJing here for like over 30 years. So this Sunday, I'm not sure if it's like 1 to 5 or something, but just check the schedule. But it's the very last show. So
wow.
If you want to call in or just listen in, yep, he's been.
It's an end of an era right there.
He's like an anchor for this place.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you just want to call him and thank him and just for he's.
Show the love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week again. Tune in to where, Caleb?
Well, if you want to find out the latest updates about where we will be on the schedule, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or do search for Robots Attack in the handy-dandy search bar at the top of Facebook. Or you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one word. And that's where that will be our Twitter page. You'll find our latest updates there. If you wish to email us and correspond more directly, you can hit our email address, which is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, last but not least, if you want the one place to get all things Robots Attack, go to robotsattack.me. That has our archived episodes. It has links to our social stuff. It has a form there. If you want to email us, you can leave comments. Like, just that is where you go to get in contact with us no matter what.
Go nuts.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's from 1 to 4, Decadance. That's EO's last show this Sunday. So, like I said, tune in, call in, let him know how awesome he is, and just say goodbye and all that jazz. But all right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Raccoon. Veronica.